This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we'll be reading from verse number 12 of Surah Al-Mujadala, page number 747 of the Noble Quran Translation, and page number 557 of the Sahih International Translation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا ناجيتم الرسول فقدموا بين يدي نجواكم صدقة ذلك خير لكم وأطهر فإن لم تجدوا فإن الله غفور رحيم أأشفقتم أن تقدموا بين يدي نجواكم صدقات فإذ لم تفعلوا وتاب الله عليكم فأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأطيعوا الله ورسوله والله خبير بما تعملون ألم تر إلى الذين تولوا قوما غضب الله عليهم ما هم منكم ولا منهم ويحلفون على الكذب وهم يعلمون أعد الله لهم عذابا شديدا إنهم ساء ما كانوا يعملون اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة فصدوا عن سبيل الله فلهم عذاب مهين لن تغني عنهم أموالهم ولا أولادهم من الله شيئا أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون يوم يبعثهم الله جميعا فيحلفون له كما يحلفون لكم ويحسبون أنهم على شيء ألا إنهم هم الكاذبون استحوذ عليهم الشيطان فأنساهم ذكر الله أولئك حزب الشيطان ألا إن حزب الشيطان هم الخاسرون إن الذين يحادون الله ورسوله أولئك في الأذلين كتب الله لأغلبن أنا ورسلي إن الله قوي عزيز لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه ويدخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thank Him upon all conditions, we ask Him to bestow His mercy upon us, upon our offspring. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial rain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness in this world as well as the next. May He protect us from the punishment of the grave, from the punishment of the fire, and may He grant us Jannatul Firdaus without reckoning. Ameen. My mothers and sisters, it's important to continue making dua to Allah. Continue having hope in the mercy of Allah. Continue seeking from guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns. And continue having hope completely. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast, and may He make us from amongst those who never lose hope. My mothers and sisters, in this world, every single one of us, Muslim, non-Muslim, whoever it is, human beings at large, everyone goes through difficulties, situations, issues, sickness, different types of tests, examinations, different types of obstacles in life, and ultimately they will all end in death. Everyone has to die. So nobody has a perfect life. Nobody has everything moving according to their liking. This is what the dunya is all about. This is what this life is all about. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us in the tests that He has chosen for us. Every person has his or her own unique tests chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep them occupied, either in the remembrance of Allah and being closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or making them occupied in distress and depression, and turning further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us be from the former and not the latter. My mothers and sisters, it's definitely worth our while to continue having hope in Allah, even when it seems to us that things may be dwindling or things may not be moving in the correct direction. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still to have mercy on us. The verses I read before you this morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers, O you who believe. I spoke about this in the past and I said, anyone who is a true believer will pay attention to what Allah says when He says, O you who believe. If someone calls out your name, say for example, your name is Abdullah, and someone says, Abdullah, immediately you'd want to look, you'd want to know what's going on, especially when they are somebody important, when they are somebody who mean a lot to you. When they were to call out your name, you would immediately want to know what is it that they are saying. So this is Allah. He's saying, oh, you who believe. If you're not bothered, there's something wrong with your belief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us strong. May He make us realize and understand. So this verse is connected to how important it is to seek consultation and to ask people their views and opinions regarding important matters, to go out and learn issues regarding the deen, and to understand that Allah's choice, Allah's decision supremely is what made all the rules come into play and come into existence. So it was Allah alone who chose what we should be doing and not doing in terms of halal and haram, permissible and that which is not, in terms of what is compulsory, obligatory and what is prohibited. So it's important for us to consult when it comes to certain matters. And when we consult, it's important for us to be in a condition that would be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we are taught that whenever you would like to achieve goodness, whenever you want to make a dua to Allah, supplicate, call out to Allah, perhaps you want to start off with a good deed, start off by praising Allah, seeking forgiveness, thanking Allah, telling Him how He is the only one, how He is the one in charge, in control, how we depend totally and only on Him, and so on, before you actually make your request. Similarly, if you were to give out a charity before making dua, it would hold greater value. Your dua and your supplication would hold greater value because you just did a good deed. Someone doing a really good deed, you know, they look at you, they smile, they show you that they care, and then they ask you, please can I have a dollar? You will melt, won't you? You give them $5, inshallah, no problem. No harm. Why? Because of their attitude. But if someone comes to you and says, I need a dollar, you're not giving it to me. I asked you. I already asked you. I know you got it. And you know what? You're just not listening to me. I'm not bothered. I don't know why. Why on earth you don't have to give me this dollar? I need it. You see how desperately I want it. Hey. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. We have attitude when it comes to Allah as well. We call out to Allah for something for Him is less than even a dollar for us. Far less. You ask Allah for something, no matter what you ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's example is that of, if He were to bestow completely everything that this dunya ever had and 10 times more, it's not even the displacement of the water by the head of a pin. Not even that much of the ocean. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. So for Allah, it's nothing, man. Not at all. If He wants, He can give you. If He's not giving it to you, it's because He wants to keep you occupied in prayer. He wants to keep you occupied in supplication. He wants to keep you occupied in good things. And He wants to test you to see. I'm not going to give you what exactly you want. A few days ago, I had a person, immediately upon my return from Jumu'ah Salah, he was waiting at my gate. I could tell that this guy is totally and absolutely drunk. And he greets me with an Islamic greeting and he says, you know what, I just need a lift. And I need a lift to go home. And that is $5. I've got $4.50. I just need 50 cents. Oh, I suddenly thought of the scam that we were taught about, where people on drugs and people in bad habits, they use this, because you're not going to give them 50 cents. Where? You're going to give them a dollar minimum. And so I had to ignore it, not because I didn't want to, but because he was drunk. I didn't want to participate in perhaps facilitating another bottle for him. That's the reason why we just ignored it. I just looked at him, smiled, nodded my head and carried on. That's it. Now, you can't say because I was miserly, because I had to exercise my own, freedom of giving, or should I say, use my brain to decide what to do. Well, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not that. He knows absolutely everything. Whether you deserve it or not is one thing. But whether He wants to give you or not is another. Sometimes you deserve something. You've really been a very good person. But Allah knows that when we don't give it to you, you will become an even better person. Or He tests you by not giving you. So therefore, He won't. And if He doesn't, just be happy. Be happy with Allah. He kept you sick and ill, bones aching, everything. Say, Alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, if you love me and if I'm still going to go to Jannah, forget about these bones. They mean nothing. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It's not easy to say that. Not at all. We still ask Allah to cure us. But at the same time, we are happy with the decree of Allah, the decision. You know, people have passed away. People have left the world before us. This is Allah's choice, decision. The point I'm raising is, when we want to supplicate, call out to Allah, it's better if you do something good. You can read 2 raka'at, 2 units of prayer, salah. And then you ask Allah, oh Allah, grant me. Oh Allah, forgive me. You are the greatest. You are my maker, cherisher. I'm going to return to you. I only depend on you. You are the one. I love you, oh Allah. I've tried. I'm weak. I try so much. Oh Allah, forgive me. Strengthen me. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. I need something. What do you need? Well, ask Him. There you are. So you don't just go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by raising your hands and saying, I want. It's good to have a little introductory element there first. You need to do something first. If you really want that thing so desperately, get up for tahajjud. Get up at that time of the night and say, oh Allah, I've heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the hadith that this is the time when you are calling out, anyone seeking forgiveness, I'm ready to forgive. Anyone asking me anything, I'm ready to give. Oh Allah, I am asking you. Here I am, Ya Allah. Wallahi, your hairs will stand. Why? Because you can feel it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness. So, verse number 12, it used to be an injunction, instruction to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the believers at the time. Oh, you who believe, when you want to consult the messenger, when you wish to privately consult the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, present before your consultation a charity. So that used to be an instruction. It was compulsory at one stage to present a charity prior to the consultation. So Allah continues to say, that is better for you and purer. But if you find not the means, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. Anyway, after that verse was revealed, so the people began to give out sadaqat before they would consult with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and so on. Then Allah revealed another verse, making it optional. So first it was an instruction, then it became optional. So Allah says, have you feared to present before your consultation the charities? Then when you do not, and Allah has forgiven you. Allah has forgiven you. Then at least establish prayer, give zakah, and obey Allah and His messenger. And Allah is aware of what you do. Which means, if you're not going to give that, we're making it optional for you now. The minimum is you at least establish your prayer. Read salah properly. You know, today we ask Allah so many things. We want Allah to answer us like now. But Allah says, just dress appropriately. I couldn't be bothered. I'm weak. I know better Muslims who are uncovered. Sometimes there are Muslims who are covered who are worse. No excuse. Not at all. No excuse, not at all. You still need to cover. Even if the whole world seems to be better people, when they are not properly covered, that does not excuse you from covering. Or salah. Someone might argue, well, I know people who don't read salah who are very, very good Muslims. What nonsense. Allahu Akbar. They might be good in character and conduct. They might have a good heart, yes, but they're still answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these statements can be abused. And they are abused by people with a lesser understanding. That's what it is. But for us, yes, we have to continue giving people hope. To say, listen, even if you're not regular with your salah, have hope in the mercy of Allah and become regular. So don't just take half of the statement, take the whole thing. Become regular. Make a point. Improve. If you know that I'm only reading one salah a day, I never get up for Salatul Fajr, then start getting up at least. So someone says, I never used to get up. Now twice a week I get up. You know, you've got two types of people. Someone will say, oh, you still are not Muslim, astaghfirullah, because you're missing your salah purposely. Man taraka salata muta'ammidan faqad kafar. They would tell you that. Whoever leaves salah purposely, they've disbelieved. But you would find someone else who understands how to perhaps call you towards greater goodness and tell you, hey, mashallah, you're doing well, but don't stop there. From zero, you got to two salahs a week. Wow, you just got five more left. Inshallah, you make it. Come. Next week, let's see how far you can get. Wow. I think with our own children, that's how we would prefer to speak. Right? So you encourage people. Don't discourage them by making them feel like, you know what, as it is, you're already in Jahannam. Now it's all about the temperature of the fire. Nothing else. Maybe 3,000 degrees, you know. And if perhaps you might read one more salah, it might just go down to 2,000 degrees. Who are you? How can you say that? How dare you utter statements like that? How do you know? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. May He forgive us. But my mothers and sisters, that having been said, we should not use such statements to continue in our wrong ways and habits or to disregard that which is laid down in the Sharia. Ask Allah for strength. For guidance. The point I was raising is sometimes we want something desperately, but we're not prepared to listen to what Allah has to say. Allah has asked you to do something, you're not worried. You asking Allah to do something, you're very worried. And you're saying, where is Allah? How come He's not answering my dua? I've been making dua for 20 years and Allah hasn't given it to me. I'm losing hope here. I've lost it. I know of people who actually say, I don't even know if Allah exists. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. But wallahi, these are the type of statements that people say. So if Allah wants you to call out for 40 years, so what? It's His choice. He might not want to give it to you. It might be bad for you. It really might be bad. Continue making dua and having hope. That's how we started this lesson. We said continue having hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what. So there came a time, and this is depicted in verse number 13, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, if you're not going to give out that, then Allah's forgiven you. At least what you should do is establish your prayer, give your zakah, obey Allah and His messenger, and inshallah Allah is aware of everything that you do. Have you not considered those who make allies of a people with whom Allah has become angry? They are neither of you nor of them, and they swear to untruth while they know they are lying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us in general. The lesson obviously is derived for every one of us, although the verses were connected to the hypocrites of the time and the kuffar of the time, where those who silently befriended the others. You know, when you choose your friends, be careful who they are. One is an acquaintance and the other is a bosom buddy, a friend. So if you may know people with bad habits, you know them. They are acquainted to you, meaning they are an acquaintance. But you don't make them your friends and you don't allow them within a certain proximity. You don't. Because why? They're not fit. Their character, conduct perhaps is not good enough. Really. You need to exercise restraint. You need to protect yourself. Don't think because I'm a Muslim, I need to be good and kind to everyone to the degree that I allow them into my home and I'm allowed into their home. No. You need to be good and kind to all. But the limit is there. Definitely. Some people, salamu alaykum, mashallah, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, wa alaykum as-salam, and that's where it stops. Done. And some people, you might want to greet them a little bit more. You might want to join them perhaps once in a while, visiting here and there. Some others, you might want to spend a bit more time with them. Be careful. Choose your company wisely. That's what we're being told. And the verse is far deeper. There were people who were total disbelievers, who used to work against the Muslimin. And there were some people who used to befriend them. And they were with them. And they used to make false promises to say, no, we're not with them. But these were true hypocrites. May Allah protect us from being hypocrites in any way. So Allah says, look, those who make allies of a people with whom Allah is already angry, Allah is angry with them. They are disregarding the law of Allah completely. Someone was asking me the other day that, you know, there's a wedding of someone. And I was shocked, actually. I was totally shocked. There's a wedding, somebody has a wedding overseas, Muslimin, and they're serving alcohol because there's a lot of non-Muslim guests. Wow, non-Muslim guests. They're serving alcohol. They're buying whatever champagne and the cognac and whatever else is there. May Allah forgive us. So are we allowed to go? So I asked them a simple question. Tell them, have they supplied drugs for the youngsters on drugs? They better get some weed and have it in one corner of the tent. So the guy started laughing. He says, come on, be serious. I said, I'm being serious. How can you ask me a question? Muslimin celebrating half of their iman by distributing alcohol. And they're saying we're integrating. Integration. That's not the meaning of integration. Allahu Akbar. Give up all your values, whatever you stood for. Wallahi, my mothers and sisters, guess what? I know non-Muslims who do not allow their children to go to parties, even if it means Christmas parties and so many other parties. Non-Muslims who don't allow their children to go to certain parties and to spend nights at other people's houses and so on, and to go out to the clubs. They're not even Muslim, but they're worried. And I know of non-Muslims who would not mind sending their children to Muslim homes and Muslim functions solely because they know the child is going to come back sober. That's all. That's all. So people say, how come they attend our functions, we don't attend theirs? It's not got to do with who attends whose functions. It's got to do with what is in that function. What's going on there? If there's something unacceptable, how on earth could you be a participant? And if they participate in your function, it's because it is acceptable according to their norms. And believe me, some of their standards are higher than ours in certain homes. May Allah forgive us. May Allah strengthen us. So Allah says, look at those who have made allies out of a people whom Allah has become angry with. They are neither of you nor of them. Meaning they neither this side nor that side. They are on the fence. And they will swear to untruth while they know they were lying. So one of the qualities of the hypocrites is that they lie under oath. They tell a lie. May Allah forgive us. Allah has prepared for them a severe punishment. Indeed, it was evil that they were doing. Now, let's stop there for a minute. That was verse number 15. Verse number 14, we just heard that Allah is admonishing those who were befriending others whom the anger of Allah is directed towards. So, just by befriending them, Allah says, you deserve a punishment. By having the wrong friends, you know what type of punishment a person gets? In this world, to start with, they become bad in terms of their habits, their character, their conduct, the way they think. Trust me, I was sitting and considering how people's thinking has been changed, comparing, you know, the questions that are being asked to the scholars of Islam over the years and how they are changing. I believe it is closely connected to Hollywood as well, and to Bollywood too. Very closely connected. Do you know why? They've been bombarding you for the last 40, 50 years, bombarding you with movies. Every movie has some powerful undertones, which you don't even realize. It takes away from you completely everything you stand for. Your values, your dress code, your likes, the beanies that you want to wear on your head. You're not even realizing what it stands for. The way you dress, the type of clothing you have. Everything is totally dictated by the TV. Allahu Akbar. Don't I sound like one of those molsaps of 1960? May Allah forgive us. But it's a fact. 2016, and now we're talking about it to say, guess what? It has changed us. The dress code and the works. Take a look at any one of our women today. Beyond or below a certain age group. And you take a look at the same women of 1960 and you will understand that perhaps they would never dress that way ever, ever, ever. And they say, so what? I'm just wearing a pants and a top. I can't imagine my granny in a pants and stuff. Allah, I don't even want to think about it. Allahu Akbar. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not talking about the Muslimin alone. Even the African tradition and the culture. Take a look at what's happened. The jeans and the hipsters and everything and the tops and the body tops and whatever else. And lycra and bicra and whatever you want to call it. Think of the same women or from the similar society. 1960, 70, even 80. No, it never happened. They wouldn't have dreamt to have had a jeans and a top. Allahu Akbar. I'm not talking about right and wrong. Please don't get me wrong here. The dress code in Islam is modest. Modest meaning, you know, loose fitting, non-revealing and so on. Whatever you're wearing, but it must be meeting a certain criteria. All I'm saying is how we've changed over the time based on how we've been bombarded by what you might call the media. Advertisements, television, soaps. You know, soap is called a soap because they wash. What do they wash? It's called brain wash. That's what it's called. Soap. MashaAllah. Funny they chose the word soap, not detergent. Okay, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, verse number 15, that the punishment here is prepared, but for whom? For those who chose the wrong friends. Allahu Akbar. May Allah forgive us. For those who considered the ones who make allies of a people whom, or for those who made allies of the people whom Allah has become angry, those are the ones whom Allah says Allah has prepared for them a severe punishment. Indeed, it was evil what they were doing. They took their false oaths and cover as a cover. They took their false oaths as a cover. So the punishment is prepared for those who have also taken false oaths. Yes, because that's mentioned in the previous verse. So when Allah says we've prepared for them the punishment, to understand who them are, you need to look at the previous verse. The pronoun is now returning to a certain group. So from amongst their qualities, you will find the quality is they swear to untruth while they know they are lying. They took their false oaths as a cover. So they averted people from the way of Allah. They diverted people from the path of Allah. And for them is a humiliating punishment. Anyone who turns people away from the path of Allah, for them will be a humiliating punishment. Or there is a warning for them regarding a humiliating punishment. Unless they turn back to Allah in repentance. My mothers and sisters, no matter what a person's done, if they turn back to Allah in repentance, He will not punish them. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ Allah will not punish them while they are seeking forgiveness. This is why when you think Allah is punishing you for something, one of the best things to do is start asking Allah's forgiveness and just repeat, Astaghfirullah, oh Allah forgive me, Astaghfirullah, oh Allah forgive me. It's actually quite beautiful. If you repeat that word, oh Allah forgive me, the sentence, oh Allah forgive me, oh Allah forgive me, even in the English language, through the day, you feel quite good because you start becoming conscious of the fact that Allah is the owner of forgiveness and we are indeed in need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah forgive us all. That's why we continue saying this. And when you say Ameen, say it with a heart. Don't just say it with your tongue. The same applies to the statement, oh Allah, forgive me. Don't just say it with your tongue. Mean it. Think about it for a moment. We all have weaknesses. We've all dilly-dallied somewhere down the line. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us upon the straight path. Ameen. So Allah says, never will their wealth or their children avail them against Allah at all. No matter how much money you have, no matter how many children you have, no matter how powerful those children are, no matter how old they are or you are, it will never ever help against Allah. Not at all. You want to make peace with Allah, you've got to make it now. You've got to seek Allah's forgiveness. Imagine Allah is using this as a warning. He says, money, it's not going to come to your aid. Children, not going to come to your aid. So what is going to come to my aid? Your link with Allah directly. Repent to Allah, confess to Allah, regret to Allah, ask Him forgiveness. Tell him to show you the path and try your best to walk upon it. He watches, he knows, he sees your weakness, he knows your weakness, he knows where you faltered, he still loves you. Why? Because you're concerned about pleasing him. No matter how many times you've faltered, you turn to Allah. Like I said, have hope. Last minute, the last breath that you may breathe, have hope in the mercy of Allah. Oh Allah, I'm sick. I'm terminally ill. I'm in my last. I have hope that you're going to take me to paradise. I have hope that you have forgiven my sins completely. And I have hope that the few good deeds I've done, you would take them and accept them. Oh Allah, grant me Jannah. I am very hopeful. That's how you die. You die with a smile. Because you know you're a mu'min. Don't you have that shahada on your tongue? Haven't you said a few times, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah? Haven't you read some salah? Haven't you cried and wept to Allah? Haven't you read sajda sometimes? Haven't you prostrated for Allah? Well, if you have, good news to you, nothing's going to be wasted. Don't waste it by oppressing others and by transgressing against Allah. Keep on asking forgiveness. This is why when we are taught, when you do a good deed, what do you say at the end? Rabbana taqabbal minna. Oh Allah, accept it from us. Innaka anta sami'ul alim. You are all hearing, all knowing. Wa tub alayna, and forgive us. I've just done a very good deed. Why am I saying, oh Allah, forgive me? Because that's when I want the deed to be accepted. After you won a match, humbleness, humility, you seek forgiveness. Subhanallah. Or, you know, you don't need to boast, be arrogant. Hey, I just read my salah. Yeah, you know, I'm going to Jannah. Who said? When you say, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, in salah, what is the sunnah? Immediately, Astaghfirullah, 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 thrice. You said, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness. But you just did such a good deed. You did one of the best possible deeds. You just read salah. So why are you asking for forgiveness? Because you want that salah to be accepted and you don't want Allah to have given that salah to someone else whom you might have wronged. This is why, be careful. Develop your character. Speak to people with respect. Treat people with proper respect. Refuse to speak evil behind people's backs about them. Refuse. Your deeds must be too valuable to be donated to others just because of your tongue. No. Don't donate your deeds to people for free. It's avoidable. So avoid it. So Allah says, verse number 17, never will their wealth or their children avail them against Allah at all. Those are the companions of the fire. They will abide therein eternally. And here eternally actually means two things. It could refer to a very long time and it could refer to really eternally forever and ever. Allah knows best, but we all know Allah is most merciful. He will treat people with His mercy according to His wish, according to His divine desire. That's Allah. He does what He wishes. Then Allah says, on the day Allah will resurrect them all and they will swear to Him the same way they swore to you and think that they are standing on something unquestionably. It is they who are the liars. A hypocrite might get away in this world by lying or by taking a false oath, but not in front of Allah. So Allah says, those who used to lie here, they're going to try to lie to us as well, but they will be caught out because we know them. When you have a habit here in the world, you might end up becoming deprived of goodness because of the same bad habit that might surface in the hereafter. So you have a habit of lying, wallahi, and you're telling a lie. You take an oath, I swear, qasam, and you're telling a lie. Open, blatant, clean, complete. If that's a habit, and if that's become your norm, or the norm of a person, then it's very dangerous. Why? Because on the day of judgment, Allah says, they will try to lie in the same way, but they will be caught out. Look what they say. On the day Allah will resurrect them all and they will swear to Him as they swore to you and think that they are standing on something, unquestionably it is they who are the liars. Allahu Akbar. Satan has overcome them and made them forget the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Satan has overcome them and made them forget the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the party of the devil. unquestionably the party of Satan will be the losers. Hizbu shaytan. Hizb means the party of. Ash-shaytan means the devil. That's the party of the devil. So the devil is going to have a group of people with. Who are they? They are the ones who had bad habits, bad company. They refused to turn to Allah. They didn't seek forgiveness. They were the ones who were arrogant, haughty. They didn't respect people and fulfill their rights. And they didn't understand. The rest were the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. No matter who you see, they are also beloved to Allah. Allah created them as a test for you. How are you going to treat them? So let's ask Allah. May Allah never ever make us from the party of the devil. Ameen. Indeed, the ones who oppose Allah and His Messenger, those will be amongst the most humiliated. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The ones who oppose Allah and His Messenger, the ones who want to defy the laws of Allah and His Messenger. People say, no, it's no longer valid. I've heard a statement where people say, no, the laws of inheritance are outdated. Come on, man. We're living in 2015. You trying to come and tell us about something which was laid down in 640, 630, and we 1400 years down the line. It's outdated, man. Whoa, 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 whoa. Subhanallah. How can you say that? Well, then don't call yourself a Muslim. Quite simple. Don't come and introduce different laws and still say, I'm a Muslim. Muslim means one who surrenders. Surrender to what? To the laws of Allah. So when Allah says cover, you cover. When Allah says read salah, read salah. If you say, no, I don't want, you haven't yet been a Muslim. Meaning you haven't surrendered. You haven't surrendered yet. It's just surrender. Allah says, get up from your sleep, you get up. Allah says, go sleep now, you go sleep. Don't eat this, you don't. If you're still interested in eating it, you haven't surrendered. Your belly is more important than the law of Allah. A lot of people couldn't be bothered. Couldn't be bothered. I remember a few months back, we entered a bakery and there was a lovely cake there. And the friend who I was with said, I want to buy this cake. I said, you know what? Sometimes they actually spray a little bit of brandy on this thing here. He says, no, can't be, man. Talking nonsense. I said, I'm telling you, it's a fact. Go see. Ask them. So anyway, he asked them and they said, yeah. They sprayed. I'm not too sure exactly what it was, but it was some like a something to preserve the cake. And it was an alcoholic liquid. So he looks at me, he says, well, I'm buying it anyway because I'm sure it's evaporated. Allahu Akbar, evaporated. Allah forgive us. So I had a little bit of a discussion and alhamdulillah he understood. And then he said, no, I won't. It's right. You know, meaning you're right. You won't. But the reality is a lot of people are not even interested. They won't even bother. They say it's a cake. How can you say it's haram? It's just a cake. May Allah forgive us. Allahu Akbar. I think some non-Muslims are more conscious about what they eat than Muslims. And they want to eat, you know, organic stuff, that which doesn't have in it any preservatives and MSGs and everything else, and they don't want, they want it to be gluten free and whatever else, and they interested in what carbs go into their bodies and how much protein goes in and whatnot and so on. And we as Muslimin, hey, just bring, man. Come on, hey, it's lekker. Have you heard that word? Mashallah. Typically Southern African, mashallah. I got a 1.5-year-old daughter. And she was having her cereal. And I tried to say, hey, you're enjoying your cereal? She says, it's lekker. I said, whoa, Allahu Akbar. I was shocked. MashaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. Indeed, the ones who oppose Allah and His Messenger, those will be among the most humiliated. My mothers and sisters, we make mistakes. We are weak. We do falter. Like I said earlier, we dilly-dally sometimes. But we are not doing it to oppose Allah. That's the difference. We're not doing it to defy Allah. Any sin we've committed is never to defy Allah. It is out of human nature. Weakness, weakness. That's what it is. And then we say, oh Allah, forgive me because I didn't defy you, oh Allah. I didn't want to fight with you. It was my weakness. I'm a human being. I did this. I was wrong. Yes, forgive me. Allah will forgive you because you didn't defy Allah. You have a weakness. Sometimes you might not still be strong to do certain things. You need a little bit more strength. So you're not defying Allah. But here we're talking of those who defy, they oppose. They're promoting something opposite to what Allah has promoted. And they're telling you, hey, this is from Allah. Because they want to turn people away from the path of Allah. They want to convince you that what Allah has sent down is not valid anymore. It's not applicable. It's not serious. It's not important. Those are the ones Allah says, hang on, they can choose their path, but they will pay for the choices they've made. You know, people say, you're free to choose. Wallahi, you are. You are free to choose. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Tell them, the truth has already come from your Lord. Now, whoever wants can believe and whoever wants doesn't need to believe. But there will be consequences for the choice you've made. إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا. Those who are oppressed, we have prepared for them a torment, a punishment, some fire. So when people say, it's my choice, my decision. Correct, it's yours. I agree, no problem. But when you come licking your wounds, we'll also tell you it was your decision, wasn't it? It was your choice, wasn't it? Allahu Akbar. And I know how to sing the song back to you. Be careful. We make these decisions. Learn to consult. Learn to ask opinion of those who understand the deen. Those who mean a lot to you. See what they have to say. Not necessary to accept what they say. If it is in transgression or if it is against the command of Allah, then you don't. And if it is a permissible matter, you may or may not. And if it is something where they are correct and you are wrong, cut it, drop it, throw it out. You will be happy. So Allah says, Allah has written or decreed. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ. Allah has written, I will surely overcome. Now this is what He has written in inverted commas, okay, quotations. I will surely overcome. I and my messengers. Indeed, Allah is powerful and exalted in might. So what did Allah say? I will overcome. I will be the powerful. I will be the one to win at the end. Myself and my messengers. I know. That's what Allah is telling us. Indeed, Allah is powerful and exalted. Now, we are taught to be kind to parents, to be kind to family members, to be kind to everyone else, to be kind to Muslims, to be kind to non-Muslims. Kindness is one thing. But obedience in the disobedience of Allah is something a Muslim should not engage in. To obey someone while disobeying Allah, not at all. Someone tells you, hey, you know what? Can you please go to the shops and buy me some pork, some bacon? You've got to say, I will go to the shop and I'll buy you everything, but not bacon. Allahu Akbar. Why? It's in transgression of Allah, Allah's command and instruction. So you can go and buy them. The drink, the juice. When I say drink, we're not talking of alcoholics because it falls into the same category as bacon. But we're talking of perhaps water and something else that's permissible. You might want to get them some fruits and veggies and a few cereals and something else and so on. And bring it back. No problem. You can do the shopping for people from the old age home. Do it. It's fine. Even if they're not Muslim. It's okay. It's a good deed. Brilliant. But you don't transgress. Why? Because Allah comes first. So this last verse I'm going to read shows you that Allah comes first. And Allah is telling you that those who really love Allah, those who believe in Allah truly, will not love people beyond that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your love for your children, for your folks, for your family must not exceed the love that you have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. So listen to what Allah says. And we end with this verse. Last verse of Surah Al-Mujadala. You will not find a people who believe in Allah and the last day having affection for those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they were their fathers or their sons or their brothers or their kindred. Those He has decreed within their hearts faith and supported them with spirit. Whom? Those who believe in Allah. So those who believe in Allah and the last day, they will not have affection in their hearts for those who have opposed Allah, transgressed against in the sense that they have defied, they have picked on a war. People are at war with Allah and you are their best friend. That's what Allah is saying. You can't be. People are at war with Allah. Help them extinguish that by repenting to Allah. But don't support them. That's what Allah is saying. So if there's a non-Muslim and he's not participating in fighting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that sense, and he's not encouraging you to do that which is evil and bad, he's leading his own life and so on, there's no harm in being good to him. In fact, you are instructed to be good and kind, and as I said earlier, to fulfill the rights completely. But here, we're talking of someone who is opposed to Allah and His Messenger in a way that there is defiance, denial, and active trial to divert you from the right path, then you cannot befriend such people. Allah says, those who truly believe in Allah and the last day, they will not have affection for such who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they happen to be their fathers or their sons or their brothers or their kindred. So Allah says, such believers, He has decreed within their hearts faith and supported them with spirit from Him, and will admit them into the gardens beneath which rivers will flow, wherein they will abide eternally, known as Jannah. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. Those are the party of Allah. You know, when we say Hizbullah, we're not talking of some Shia group from Lebanon. No. We're talking of those who are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hizbullah. Ulaika Hizbullah. These are the people who strictly follow what Allah says. That's what Allah says. Anyone who follows what Allah says is known as Hizb Allah, the party of Allah, the group that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unquestionably, the party of Allah are the successful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success in this world and the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. My mothers and sisters, what a beautiful day, what beautiful lesson. And we ask Allah to make it easy for us in every single way, in this world as well as the next. May Allah bless you all. Please pray for rain. We desperately need it. I think we are struggling and suffering, and perhaps there has been a prediction of maybe a drought. We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let that happen in this part of the world. And we ask Allah to grant ease to all those who are suffering across the globe. There are too many to mention in too many nations and countries and places. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on one and all. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.